Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, on this programme over the last few weeks, we've been covering the ancient royal sites of Ireland. And today, it's a double feature with two sites perched on hills. One is the iconic Rock of Cashel in Tipperary, and the other is Abhainn Mhaca, which is located in County Armagh. And to discuss their fascinating mythology and links to the arrival of Christianity in Ireland, along with some insights into politics and society along the way, I'm joined now in the studio by Johnny Cash, who's tour guide at Cashel, and Anthony Murphy of Mythical Ireland. And you're both welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thanks, Claire.
Particularly you, Johnny, with that great name. You're a tour guide at the Rock of Cashel, aren't you?
That's correct, yes.
So tell us about the legend around where the Rock of Cashel began and its links to the yew tree.
Okay, well, of course, when people couldn't explain something, you know, it'd be grand, we'll come up with a lovely story maybe to explain it. So there is a story that Cashel was actually founded as the seat of kings of Munster because of a magic yew tree.
Mm-hmm.
So they say there was a yew tree on the outcrop of limestone that is the actual Rock of Cashel. And Conall Cork, who was a local chieftain's son, took tribute that should have been given to the king and used it to free hostages. For that reason, he was banished, actually, to Scotland, was the story I heard. Others would say north of England, but he was banished from Ireland by the king. Now, while he was away, a druid put a spell on the yew tree, and he said that anyone who could manage to light a fire under the magic yew tree of Cashel on a particular day would become the next king of Munster. And so, Conall Cork, when he heard the king had died, was returning. He got lost in a snowstorm with his family who were coming with him, and he took shelter under a tree. He lit a fire to warm himself, and lo and behold, not only had he picked the right day, but the right tree. And Conall
the fire
Cork,
lit for him.
Yes, and Conall Cork became the king of Munster and established then Cashel as the seat of the kings of Munster because this is where it all happened for him, basically.
Right. So, well, listen, yeah. We don't care if it's true or not. It's a great story, isn't it?
It's a wonderful story, yeah.
But the Rock of Cashel itself, I mean, you've got the Round Tower, the High Cross, the Romanesque Chapel, the Gothic Cathedral. I mean, it has it all, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yes. In the early 12th century, when Rome first divided Ireland into archdioceses, there were actually only two, Armagh and Cashel. And then they later realised Ireland is bigger than we actually thought. Maybe we need an archdiocese in each of the regions,
yes,
as they would have been at the time, mm-hmm, or whatever.
Well,
Connacht.
Really, that you've established the link really between the two, Anthony. That's maybe where I'll bring you in, because St. Patrick had a connection to Cashel as well, didn't he?
Yeah, there's a very interesting story at Cashel about a 5th century king, Angus Nadfraic, who wanted to be baptised. And Patrick was coming in that direction. And for the ceremony, he had a specially constructed font or fount on the top of the hill, not where these ceremonies would normally take place, although that, even that's curious, these ceremonies being what? Mm-hmm. Baptisms, you know,
but
which hadn't taken
the
place
The king
before.
Wanted this thing built, did he?
He did, and he had a special stone-lined font built and filled with water. Patrick arrived and everything was going swimmingly well. And, of course, the inhabitants of the area also wanted to be baptised. So Patrick did the usual. He had his crozier with him and he asked Angus, you know, do you believe in Christ? All of that stuff. Angus said, yes, I do. You know, he was crucified and he died and risen again. Do you believe all that? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And Patrick was praying with his eyes closed and he raised his crozier up into the sky and he plunked it down on what he thought was the ground. But he actually stabbed King Angus in the foot.
Unfortunate.
An accident. King Angus, being something of a stoic, not realising that he thought this was part of the ceremony. So he stifled his scream, you know, and kept silent throughout. But when Patrick removed his crozier, there was a gush of blood from his foot. Surprisingly or not surprisingly, the rest of the inhabitants lost their appetite for baptism that day.
Right, they said, "Now you're okay, Patrick. We'll, yeah, we'll hold back
leave
for
it to
another day.
Day, maybe."
What was King Angus like? You said he was a stoic. What was life like under him?
It's a curious question, because if this is the 5th century, so this is an era of Irish life and society that actually we don't know much about. And the reason for that is we don't know much that we can prove. And the reason for that is writing doesn't come really until Christianity gets established. The first writing is 6th century. So everything before that, there's always a question about it, you know. Early Irish society is interesting because we have these centres of power. We have people living close to the land. We have, like, there's a huge reliance on cattle and sort of nearby transhumans, you know, where the cattle are grazing during the day and being brought into ring forts at night. I don't know much about King Angus other than that famous story. But in that era, that is the era when we see a beginning of something in Ireland, which is an alignment of church and politics.
Yep, right, okay, which is
the
continued
kings
right
start
the way
literally
through.
Or metaphorically getting into bed with the clerics, a relationship of you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours.
Johnny, you wanted to come in there.
Yeah, there's like some accounts say that King Angus was the great-grandson of Conall Cork. Now, that could have been the Oenacht, who is the sept that all of these kings came from, establishing their connection to Christianity as well, you know. So we can only really speculate, I think, and a lot of historians can only speculate on this era. What was happening? Were they saying he had a connection back to Conall Cork, the founder of this, to establish that they were the, you know, the Christian and the early connection with Cashel and the Rock of Cashel and everything?
Well, what Cashel does really is demonstrate those links, though, and take us through the story of Christianity in Ireland, doesn't it?
Incredible. Absolutely.
What differs it from the other royal sites, like Ann Macha, for instance, is that the rock today, Carrickfarrick is its name, is in the remains on it are entirely ecclesiastical. We've got nothing from before Christianity on the Rock of Cashel. So at Ann Macha, for instance, and at Tara and the other royal sites, we have pre-Christian and prehistoric monuments, you know. So I think that's probably the biggest difference in terms of when you look at all the royal sites, why does Cashel stand out? Well, it's because what's left there is, you know, it's very much the story of Christianity and very much less the story of what was there beforehand. Okay. You know?
So tell us a little bit then about Ann Macha and what it is and how it came about and what we know about it.
Well, Ann Macha was the, I suppose, best known as the capital of the Ulladh, who were, you know, they were tribal kings who came to power in archaeologically what we would call the Iron Age, you know, and made most famous, of course, by the epic Toinbo Cuilnge and King Conor MacNessa or Crohor MacNessa. Archaeologically, it's fascinating. It's a complex of monuments. I believe there are up to 50 monuments in that immediate landscape. There were excavations. We call it Navan Fort today, but there were excavations there in the 20th century. And the mound,
it's in Armagh, we should tell people.
Yes, it's very close to the city of Armagh. The mound in the middle of the enclosure there, which we would have assumed was some sort of a tumulus or prehistoric burial mound. When they excavated it, they found that there originally had been some sort of timber roundhouse that had actually been ritually burnt to the ground and then covered over with a mound. So although if you read the myths about places like Ann Macha, which would appear to suggest that they were places of habitation, archaeologically speaking, it's been the tendency is to think of them more as ritual and ceremonial sites, you know.
But we don't know what that ritual was about, do we?
No, I mean, so much.
We can make something up.
We could. I mean, there are ritual buildings at Tara and at Bruna Bonia which look like they were giant stadiums, actually, of prehistory.
Right.
And I always say, when you're building stadiums, what are you doing? Well, you're watching sports and games, and something fairly spectacular is happening there with big crowds watching.
You know? It would be fascinating to know, though, what was happening with the ritualistic burning of the roundhouse, wouldn't it?
Yeah, this is something that happened. Also, you may have heard of, there's a feature that runs across many parts of the northern part of the country called the Danes Cast or the Black Pigs Dyke, believed to have been defensive structures that were built, for Ann Macha to prevent incursions into the north. And actually, parts of those had timber palisades running across them, and they were ritually burnt as well. So it seems to be that it reached a certain stage where a building made of timber, you know, maybe it had begun to rot anyway, that they just torched it, you know.
Yeah. Is there any evidence of those sort of rituals happening at Cashel?
There's not. What happened with Cashel is probably sad. Not sad, but go back, John. They brought in soil to facilitate burials on the Rock of Cashel. And that has probably covered over a lot of the early archaeology. Mm-hmm. And that is the problem. And the fact that there are family-owned graves there now on the Rock of Cashel as well. It's very hard to have an archaeological dig there mm-hmm. because families are going to be saying, well, sorry, no, you can't dig up our graves or whatever. So that is an issue with Cashel, you know.
Yeah, so would you say then that we don't know all of the secrets of Cashel?
Absolutely, yes. And there's wonderful local stories even that there was, there's an abbey in the field to the west of it, St. Mary's Abbey of the Rock, which is on much lower ground, of course, naturally, because of the height of the Rock of Cashel. They say there was a secret tunnel down to the abbey so that they could, you know, and things like that. And I mean, most historians today would probably... would the tunnel not have flooded, like with the water running off of the height of the Rock of Cashel and all that? So, you know, we can debate it for... But one of the things I think that a lot of people don't realise with Cashel is it was also an Anglican site and has that crossover. Mm-hmm. And while it's, you know, it tells an awful lot of the history of actually... Ireland in that sense. Henry II came to Cashel for a synod of the church in 1172, so that would have been marking the Norman conquest of the southern half of Ireland, certainly, and things like that. And then later Queen Elizabeth granted it to the Anglican Church. So in 1568, that type of history, you know, makes, I think, the story of Cashel for very interesting.
Well,
if you really buy into it and listen to
it. It's hugely important, isn't it, in the story of Ireland?
Totally. That's mm-hmm. what I'm saying. It tells the whole, you can tell from the early Christian period right through to the changes that were happening in Ireland, mm-hmm. you know.
It's fascinating. Now, between the 17th and 25th of August, it's National Heritage Week.
That's
going to celebrate Ireland's cultural, built and natural heritage. And many of the ancient sites, including the two we've been talking about, the Rock of Cashel now and Vaca, will no doubt be highlighted during that time, and I'm sure you'll both be very busy in that week telling people about all of these places. Johnny Cash, tour guide of the Rock of Cashel, thank you for coming in. And Anthony, good to have you back with us as well. Anthony Murphy's website is mythicalireland.ie. Back after this break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.